Hey, welcome to New River Church's podcast. We're really glad you decided to join us today, and we hope that today's message encourages you and lifts you up. If you're looking for some more information about New River Church, just check us out at newriverchurch.org.
Look at Matthew chapter 13. I want to just start with this statement here, okay? Having roots is not enough. It's where your roots get planted. That's what makes the difference. All of us have roots, so it's really not a question of whether or not you have roots. And it's really not even a question of whether or not you have good roots. The question is where the roots are planted. That's what makes the difference. And Jesus really illustrates this beautifully in this parable that he tells us in Matthew chapter 13. Let me just read it for us. It says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house, sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Looked like my front lawn right now. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Now, go on down a little bit to verse 18, and Jesus explains this parable to us. He says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. I love it when Jesus explains things really plainly like that, doesn't he? So he says, this is the seed. And then verse 20, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word at once and receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the world, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So you see, Jesus says we got four kinds of soil. But there's only one seed, and the seed is a good seed. The seed is the word of God. So you can't, it's not about the seed. The same seed in all four soils. It's the same sower in all four soils. The difference is the soil, and the roots are all, you know, they all produce roots. The soil determines the success of that plant. And he says that first one, that's the rock, that's this hard path. And there the word of God, it just lands on that person and it doesn't even faze him. It's just another good story. I'm going to propose to you that none of you here are the hard ground because you're here. So you're interested, you're hungry, you're wanting something. So if you were hard ground, you wouldn't even be here. So let's just leave it, let's start there. And then the other soils, he goes, now that second kind of soil, that's this rocky soil. And the seed, the word of God goes in there, and at first it takes right off. It grows up great, but then look, at trouble comes. And it gets hard. And this is the person that gives up. And I have seen this happen many times in the years that I've walked with Jesus. I have felt it many times in my own life. When tough times come, you say, this Jesus thing ain't working out. It's just too hard. It ain't, you know, it's not what I signed up for. I thought that if I asked Jesus into my heart, everything would be beautiful. It would be great. He would solve all my problems. It would be, and then he's not, and I'm out. That's the rocky ground. And then the third kind of soil, he says, is this soil. It grows in there. The root goes down good and deep, but then the weeds come up around it and choke out the plant. And Jesus explained those weeds are the worries and the cares of life. See, the truth is, a lot of us love Jesus and we love lots of other things too. And Jesus is great. We've just added him into our lives. I've just added him into my busy schedule. And this is now wonderful. But he says that doesn't work because eventually your busy life and all the other things that you love so much are going to crowd out your relationship with Jesus. And that seed's just going to kind of choke. It doesn't just die suddenly. I'd propose it just sort of gradually loses the flame, you know, the fervor. And then Jesus says, now there's this fourth kind of soil. This fourth kind of soil, that's the soil, that's good soil, man. That's got some good, rich stuff down in there. And the roots go down in there. And then the Word of God changes that person from the inside out. And the results are amazing. I mean, this person just transforms. Their character is completely different. The way they operate their lives, completely different. Their marriage is different. Home, different. And the only thing, the only way to explain the difference is it's Jesus. And they're responding to the Word of God, and it's changing their lives from the inside out. You see, it's not about having roots. It's about where the roots are planted. So where do my roots need to be planted? Well, I want to take us to two more passages of Scripture. Go to Colossians. First, we're going to go to Colossians chapter 2. Go to Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. He says this. He says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Look at that. Rooted where? In him. Rooted in Christ. What does it mean to be rooted in Christ? Well, I think I know what it doesn't mean to be rooted in Christ. It doesn't mean that I just simply believe that Jesus is the Savior. That's not being rooted in Christ. A lot of people believe that Jesus is the Son of God and all that stuff, but that's not being rooted in Christ. That's not enough, I propose, to keep you strong all the way to the end. I would propose that being rooted in Christ is not simply reading your Bible, praying every day. Like that's the typical Sunday school answer. That's not what this is talking about. Rooted in Christ means this, I believe. It means that you've actually come to this place where you're not, well, I'll put it this way. A lot of people don't believe in Jesus. They believe in their idea of Jesus. A lot of people don't have faith in Christ. They have faith in their faith in Christ. And what Jesus wants to bring us to, this place that he wants to bring us to, is this place that you dispel all of the myths and the false beliefs that you have about Jesus to where you only have just Jesus. This place where you are so connected to Jesus that, man, take everything else away. As long as I have him, I'm not going to let go of Christ. He's not going to let go of me. I don't have just a shallow kind of, it's not just a religious connection. It's, I love Jesus. And Jesus loves me. And there's no way in hell that you're going to part us. I'm in Christ. Does that make sense? You go, well, I don't even know how that happens. Oh, that's going to take some time. Roots don't grow overnight, do they? So rooted in him. And that's part of, I propose, that's part of the process in our Christian lives is get rid of the religion, get rid of the stuff, the false ideas, the things that you think of are Jesus that aren't really Jesus, get rid of those and come to this place where, okay, I am in love with this man, Jesus. He is amazing. And the second way we get rooted is over in Ephesians. If you go over to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 19, he says this. It says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." He says, I pray that you be rooted and established in what? In what? In love. I propose to you that that's Christian community. There are things about Jesus that you can only learn when you're in context with other followers of Jesus. It's why what the men did yesterday was so good, so rich. When some of our guys gathered together yesterday with men from two other churches, and we spent the day worshiping, praying together, fellowshipping, hanging out, eating, it was great. When you get together with other believers in Christ, it rubs off on you. There's things that they know about Jesus that we don't know about Jesus, and we start hanging out, and now we start to learn what each other knows about Jesus. And so Christianity is a team sport. You've heard me say it before. We don't do this on our own. It's not you and Jesus against the world. It's us together growing closer to Christ. So these two things we need to be rooted. We need to be rooted in Christ, not just in my idea of Christ. And I need to be rooted in a good Christian community where I can grow in my relationship with Christ. These two things are extremely valuable and necessary for your success as a follower of Jesus Christ. That's why I'm really excited about this series called Rooted. I'm excited about what it is that we are starting today, because there's a couple of things that I love about what we're going to do in the next 10 weeks with this thing. The first one is this. I love the fact that it's Jesus. I mean, it's all about Jesus, and it's all about learning Jesus together. Those two things are awesome. It's a small group curriculum. It's not meant to be done on your own. That's why we've been so strong about you got to get in a group. I want you in a group. I want you in a group. You just need it. It's designed to do it that we do it together in a group. It's not just you in your private time alone, although there's part of that, but it's a group journey. That's the first thing. The second thing I really love about this series is that it's written by people that aren't American. You'll notice that as you're going through the journal. It was actually developed by a group of churches in Kenya. And it's been kind of adapted and Americanized a little bit, but you'll see it as you go through the journal that there's testimonies every week from different pastors and people, leaders in churches around the world, particularly on the continent of Africa. And why I love that is this, because listen, we know Jesus as Americans, and that's not bad, that's our context. But when you start hanging out with Christians in other countries, you discover their experience of God is different than yours. It's the same Jesus, don't get me wrong. It's not two different Jesuses, not at all. I'm just saying they know God in ways that you don't know because of their experience. And there's just, I mean, I know my life has been forever impacted. I can go down the list. Pastor Teodoro in Managua, Nicaragua, we've worked with for 20 years. That man's impacted my life in profound ways. What a brother. And my friends in Elim Bible Church in San Salvador, amazing men and women of God, and our brothers and sisters in Argentina, and our friends in Kenya that have, I got the chance to worship years ago in a hut with Aka pygmies in the deep jungle of Congo. Those men, their faith was amazing. It just changed my life forever. And then our family had the privilege to meet Paw in Thailand, a man with leprosy, a man who has no legs, and his fingers are stubs, and he's got no nose. It ate the cartilage around his nose. And this man, Paul, loves God with all of his heart, and he is so deeply thankful. All he can say is, I'm just so glad. God's been so good. He's been so good to me. Paul changed my family's life. I'm just saying that when you get around people from other cultures, it impacts you. And that's one of the things I love about this material is you've got testimonies and stories in here from that. So that's going to benefit you. I also love the fact that it's super practical. There's going to be a couple of things you're going to do as a group in the next 10 weeks. One of them is you're going to take a day to fast and pray. Some of you might stop. You might say, I don't want to sign up now. I'm done. But you're going to take a day in the next 10 weeks to fast and pray together as a group. You're going to pick a day, and as a group, we're going to say we're going to fast and pray this day, and then you're going to get together that night and have a meal together and talk about your experience. Like, that's going to be life-changing for some of us. And then there's another time in there where as a group where you're supposed to go serve. And we're going to start talking about that today in your small group time. Like, we got to start making plans, but in week 6, we've got to do a kind of a COVID-friendly, I guess, service project of some sort. So your group's going to get the chance to serve together in some way. That's going to be life-changing. I mean, there's just so many aspects of this in the next 10 weeks that I'm super stoked about what God has in store for us. And I'm glad that you're agreeing to be a part of it. So.
Thanks for listening today. If you'd like more encouragement or information about New River Church, check us out at newriverchurch.org.